This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. The function has started here. The Honors Luncheon, the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, honoring the legacy of Tom Benson and obviously all that Gail Benson does in our community. And Mike Haas and I are joined by Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans and Company. Walt, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm pretty intimidated to be on here with you two radio celebrities, but I'm happy to be with you.
I'll show you what a radio celebrity is. We're getting ready to start. I looked at Walt and I go, how's your dad? He goes, dude, we're on the air.
But he's good.
So much for what
in
you
fact,
know about.
In fact, he came to the Pels game with me the other night, last Friday, when we whooped up on Denver.
So don't you love the cup court?
Love it.
Some of them to me are just...
Now, the Celtics, not good.
Most of them are hard to look at.
Not good.
The cars is,
ours
is
looks good.
Classy. Well done.
I was watching a game the other night on TV. The court was black. Yeah. You said the Spurs?
You know the cup games.
Yeah. There's some kind of, this cup game thing. And you know, the parquet floor in the Celtics, I think it was green.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't look good. But I guess, you know, maybe it looked good to them.
That's right.
Ours looked good, though.
So, Walt, obviously the ramp up to the Super Bowl, I mean, these days are clicking off fast. The month of November, I don't know about you, but it was like gone.
It's gone, and December's going to be quick, too, and everybody's just getting ready. But I'll tell you right now, being in this building right now and for this event, that you can feel the energy. People are really fired up about it, and so many good things happening out there in preparation for it. And so, I think 78 days, but we're gonna be more than ready. And can't wait to get there and showcase the city.
So we have the NFL commissioner here, Roger Goodell, took his tour of the facility today, and we understand that it went well, and he was shocked by what was accomplished here. And I think he's always had a love for the facility, right, Mike?
And yeah, very much so. And I was actually, you'd asked me earlier, and not shockingly, I was wrong. I thought he had been here during the renovation, and he hadn't. It was pre-2019, which I'm actually is awesome. Right?
Yep.
Because you didn't have to see it in this dilapidated construction situation. You were able to you remember what you saw, and now you see this, and it's a light year from where it was. So I think that is just awesome, and I know he's excited to be here. There's a video of Tom Benson that's up past March 15th back in 2018. But without Mr. Benson in 1985, all three of us ain't sitting here. Because without an NFL team, you know, there's a lot of different things that would have happened with this building. And it, you know, I spent most of my professional life in here, and I never, ever take it for granted.
I talked to a guy just this past week. I was in D.C., and he works at the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau. But he told me when he was 13 years old, he came down to New Orleans in the late 70s with his father, who was here for a conference. And it was the first time they did a family tour of the Superdome. He said he'll never forget the first time he came into this building. And he's looking forward to coming back and visiting. But, you know, people all over the country and all over the world have connection to our city, but also to this iconic stadium. And there's so many big things that have happened here. Love hearing that stuff from people from all over the country. But it's a really nice family story about a memory he's got from early in his childhood. And the fact that this stadium is going to be 50 years old in 25 is pretty special.
See, I don't know if you were here, but I'm old enough to know what was here before the Superdome. You're young enough that it was probably constructed before you were born. Right?
Just a couple of years before, so, right.
What is your
I'm 46.
What is your first memory of the Superdome?
Some of my earliest memories that I have are college basketball games in here, LSU versus Georgetown, right. LSU yeah. versus Notre Dame, when we had, I think, record crowds in here. I remember some Bush challenges from early on yeah. that were pretty awesome.
Home plate would have been right there.
I think I got a foul ball at one of those games yeah. in the yeah. LSU-Florida State game. So many. I remember when they just had kind of carpet on the ground. Yeah. It's pretty awesome to be on
concrete,
the field.
Then
concrete
green.
And carpet, right?
Right.
But it just looks awesome in here. And so many great memories. Those are some of the early ones, though.
But that's that, to me, is the difference. I go to a lot of stadiums, and they're new, but they don't have any shared experiences. We've cried here, we've laughed here, we've cheered here, we've done it all here. And when you've done that, you can't buy that at SoFi, right? It's just a new building that'll be gone.
Yeah, you
in 25
can spend
years.
$5 billion if you want to,
right.
But you can't build that.
You can't have the soul and the class that this building has.
Yep, no question.
It's just kind of interesting, you know, each generation, how they view this place. And you just mentioned some things. I remember them after you mentioned them.
Right. But they didn't necessarily stick out for you as some other did,
as
right?
some others
yeah,
did, right?
I mean, it's amazing.
How, as we look, we have Michael Soy on, and we know he's moving to Audubon, but this renovation, what they're doing at the convention center with the headquarter hotel, what Caesars is doing, it's got to put us, talk about the position from a convention, just any event that we might have had struggled with 5 years ago, where we are now.
Well, I think the big thing is if you don't do those things, then you're not in the conversation for a whole bunch of events. We're not doing the Super Bowl if we didn't do this renovation. We're likely not getting a Final Four anytime soon if we hadn't done this renovation. And the same is true for major conferences. You know, I mean, when you're talking about 30,000 physicians coming in for their conference, whatever their specialty may be, they want excellence. They expect an excellent facility. That's kind of like just table stakes. If you don't have an excellent facility, well, then what else is there to talk about? Same thing with hotels. Fact is, a lot of our hotel properties are a little bit older, and there's certainly going to be some great renovations that happen over the next few years. But I think a lot of that's going to be driven by the new headquarters hotel, the competition that creates. So the Caesars investment is massive. I mean, when you have a company like Caesars who can invest their money wherever they want, and they choose to do it here, and they do something as beautiful as they've done, that's a game changer. I'm excited for more people in our region to get into that property. You know, I mean, I think that... they, you know, for folks who have maybe started to go to the Gulf Coast and, you know, other places to seek that kind of entertainment, I think they need to take a really close look at what we've got downtown now, and they will see very quickly that it's not what we used to have. Much like you're talking about, the Superdome is not what it was five years ago.
It's not your daddy's, convention center or Caesar's, you know, casino.
And it's great to have customers who have been loyal to our city over the years. Maybe they've been coming for 20 years. When they come back and they see the new airport, the new convention center, the linear park in front of it, all of that work that's been done, they're stunned and happy. I mean, they like our city, but... they've been picking other cities because they have shinier, newer things, and they've made investments that we haven't. So we're catching up in a lot of ways. I hope that we'll be smart enough to kind of stay on the cutting edge of that and take care of the things that we're making investments in. That'll be the next challenge when you get a couple years down the road. Are we taking care of the things that we've done? But it's table stakes. You know, I mean, there's probably $20 or $30 billion worth of convention center construction happening across the country right now, at least $6 billion in Texas alone, in a couple of different cities. And so that's the name of the game. It's an arms race, and you got to keep up if you want to compete at the highest level.
There's so many things that we have that the other cities don't have, but still, as you point out, it that is the driver, right?
When you've got professional meeting planners coming in, or, you know, NFL or the NCAA who are producing an event, the facilities are important. You know, I mean, you've got to have that. Once you get past that, then we get the chance to sell the culture and the unique assets that we've got, because we know it's going to drive attendance. But you got to win the event and then help drive the attendance. And so, yeah, you've always got... that working for you, but But the facilities really, really matter. When you're talking about pros who do this for a living, they know the difference between a good facility and one that's not up to par. And they know that it's going to impact the quality of the event they produce. So it's critical.
And I think the message that the city has been able to spend, Roger Goodell just finishing bringing up Miscale, we're not able to take the event live, so understand that we're doing a show that is here. But the ability to have the message of three Taylor Swift's concerts,
yeah.
Which, by the way, I saw you at one, so I know you were there. So, well done. But that message to the world, a Super Bowl 2 months later, the Saints games, Sugar Bowl quarterfinal, all of this as you finish a building, what a great way to say, hey, Globe, look what we've done.
Incredible. I mean, the timing couldn't be better to be able to roll those things out. And I think it's going to pay dividends. You know, I think, again, I was in D.C. I was with people from all over the country, and they're talking about the Taylor Swift concert that was just here, the Super Bowl that's coming. And it makes it, it sends the message that we're on the right track. And that pays off in other events that want to be here. We wanted the Taylor Swift concert to be so special because we wanted every musical act around the country to say, the Superdome and New Orleans has got to be on our list. If we're going to be a big tour, one of the biggest in the world, then we've got to go there. We can't miss that. And I think we did that, and we've got more work to do. Everybody wants it. They're all going to compete. But I think that people saw something special here, and I'm excited to see how we can translate that into more opportunities. It creates great opportunities for people who live here to be able to experience these amazing events, but it also creates the opportunity to attract people here for a communal, memorable experience. And
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have gone better.
You know, as a result of the hard work of your organization and so many others here in the city, we have been recognized by so many different organizations in hospitality, in tourism, for what we have to provide. It's just another opportunity to tell our story. I get these texts all the time. I've asked you these questions. You know, folks are like, well, why do we got to wait till there's a Super Bowl? Because it's a big event that we can leverage and we can improve upon our product, right?
We shouldn't have to wait. I mean, everybody who's upset about it is you know, rightfully upset. I think we shouldn't. We should do a better job. We always want to do a better job of making these investments. I think from our perspective, it's like you said, we're just trying to make sure that when there is an opportunity to leverage it, that we do it. And so if that's what it takes to get people engaged and moving forward, well, then obviously we want to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should come up with some better, you know, programming on making these investments and keeping them up. But we also recognize that when you have a city of only about 380,000 people and you're hosting events of this magnitude, generating this kind of revenue, these events create opportunities to make those investments. And it's on the backs of people who are visiting, which is quite frankly a great model. I mean, this Superdome
paid
financed
for
by visitors.
Yep, hotel, motel taxes.
And the convention center paid for by visitors. I read an article in the New York Times last week questioning why cities are spending so much on convention centers and kind of challenging the meetings industry in the wake of COVID, maybe not as many people attending. I think it was an erroneous article, first of all, but it reminded me of one really important thing. The city of New Orleans doesn't pay for the convention center. the visitors to it pay for it, and it's a political subdivision in and of itself. So our city's not on the hook for bonds. Our city's not on the hook for operational expenses. Visitors are financing that whole operation just like they do here at the Superdome.
Right.
It's a great model for us. It's something we need to protect. You know, I mean, there are sometimes challenges to that, but this has been a great thing for our community for 50 years to have visitors to the city financing it when, in reality, 70% of the people who use it are locals or regionals.
I had a good friend tell me, you know why Vegas is what it is today? And I said, no, why is that? He goes, new wallets every day in Vegas.
Yep. They empty new wallets every day.
Right. So the last thing that I have for you is, and Mark Romick was on earlier, and he talked about it, and my boss, one of my bosses, Evan Holmes, the general manager, we did this in phases, right? This Superdome was built in, renovated in phases, and you had this energy, phase, you cannot finish.
Right.
And Mark Romick talked about this new, really, relationship between business and the city, business and government. And Evan says, we cannot go back to what we were doing. We have to keep this phase mentality, and Mark said, we have to keep this relationship, and it's you and Michael Heck and the city that get things done. We have to take this and make something of it.
Yeah, I think it's a good model that can be replicated in a number of different ways, you know, and we've been doing it in other ways for a long time, public safety and other things. I think formalizing it a little bit in the way that that's happened with some of the infrastructure stuff is a positive thing. Partnerships are the only way to get big things done anywhere in any place. And so the more that we can build those relationships, some trust and some common purpose, I think that's how you get it done, and that's how the model works, and that's how cities get stronger. You know, I mean, if you look at cities that are growing and thriving, they have strong government leadership, but they also have strong business leadership and strong civic engagement where people are trying to move in the same direction towards a common vision. And if there's a little bit of momentum on that, we got to keep it.
Yeah. Legislature's in special session. They were voting on the package today. Any concerns?
I was really excited to see that they've made some compromises, it appears, on the film tax credit and the historic
right.
tax credit. We just had the National Historic Trust in town for about a 2,000-person meeting a couple weeks ago. We're the number one state in America when it comes to leveraging historic tax credits for investment. We get federal dollars and state, and we renovate these older buildings into beautiful new structures.
That would
structures.
Never go into the
never
stream
happen.
Of commerce, right?
They'd be out of commerce, not paying taxes and other things. So, I mean, I'm pleased that they found some compromise on that. And I'm hopeful that they'll come up with some ways to continue to address some of these tax challenges that we've got. I mean, I don't think there's any question that we need improvement there. How you balance it, it's tough. I've been there.
I know, that's why I asked you.
I got some texts last night about them.
But he has shed all the gray hair from those days.
Quibbling over a half a penny here and a half a penny there, and I was like, man, I don't miss that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's admirable to go tackle it. I think they're going to come
absolutely.
Out with some improvement. And you know, sometimes incremental improvement's better than some big wholesale shift. And so hopefully it'll get a little bit better. They can keep working on it. But I think protecting those credits were important. It looks like they've worked that out. I hope that comes to fruition.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Well, as always, Walt, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for what you do. Your organization are great. I mean, y'all continue to get recognized from national organizations around the country, internationally as well.
Phenomenal team of people who love our community so much, and they put their whole heart and soul into it every day. I'm proud to just be a team member of theirs.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you and the job that you guys do. Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Great to be with you guys.
As always.
Hi, we'll be right back. I'm Newell Norman. He's Mike Haas. We're at the Caesar Superdome for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon. Ms. Gail Benson just received her recognition and gave her speech, as well as Roger Goodell. And we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.